Fuzzy TV.
Your comments really got to me yesterday, brothers and sisters. As I was sitting outside reading your comments on my phone and hearing how the truth has brought you joy, peace, relief, and happiness, I started to cry. That's just me. I'm very emotional. And this only confirms to me how tied I am to you. They were tears of amazement, of just happiness that God has brought these truths, this information, this liberating scripture to us, and that we express it to each other how wonderful it is to feel free. And then as I continued reading, I got down to Gene's comment. We have a brother named Gene who comments frequently. He looks to be a very young fellow, and he writes, "My girlfriend passed away 2 days ago. I know she will be okay. I know I will be okay. God is in control, but it hurts so much. I feel so alone. I feel so sad." Brother, when I read that, I began weeping. And if someone had walked past the alley and seen me sitting on my patio, they would have come over and, "Sir, are you okay?" And I feel your sadness, Gene. Of course, none of us can feel it as acutely as you do, but your faith shines in front of all of us in this situation, that you are still trusting God, and you know that your girlfriend is sleeping, and you brought that out, and that you're happy that she's not suffering anymore. And this just shows the realness of your faith. And so I thank God for that opportunity to really see you, to see a deeper part of you than we've seen before. And I know that God will comfort you more and more in the days to come. And I'm happy to see other comments, people who, fellow members of the body of Christ, who also feel your pain. So God bless you. And as Greg said, you're doing the right thing to share this, to share this with the body of Christ. We share our joys and our pains with each other. That's what we're supposed to do. And it helps. Don't keep this to yourself. You don't have to. But yes, boy, oh boy, we do suffer together. That's for sure. On another note, as I was sending a text message to my son Gabe, the day after I made yesterday's show, but before it aired, I was explaining to him, as I was running at 5 in the morning, I was talking into my phone, I was explaining to him the whole essence of Paul saying, walk as if resurrected from among the dead, and I was giving him some of my further insights into Christ died to sin, death is lording it over him no longer. This is Romans 6:9. Christ being roused from among the dead is no longer dying. Death is lording it over him no longer. For in that he died to sin once for all time. I'm in verse 10 now. Yet in that he is living to God. Verse 11, thus you also be reckoning yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, yet living to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. My son Gabe came back with a distillation of this that I thought was just beautiful, and I want to share that with you. He said, quote, "We are now to worry as much about sin as Christ now worries about death." And that is a perfect distillation of what Paul is saying. Here, let me read this again. We are to now worry as much about sin, as Christ now worries about death. And when I heard that distillation, I thought he really got into, Gabe did, he really got into Paul's mind there. Paul is trying to think of the most extreme example he can of how little we are to worry, of how little we are to hear and heed the voice of sin that would talk us out of our justification. And the most extreme example Paul could think of is, well, how much does Christ now worry about death? How much does death now lord it over Christ? And of course, the answer is nothing, nothing at all. It's the furthest thing from him. Death is the furthest thing now from Christ, having been roused from among the dead. Yes, thus also, the specter of sin, the condemnation of sin, the curse of sin should be that far away from you. What a distillation. I seem to like that word distillation this morning. I'd also like the friend to acknowledge and shout, give a shout out to our fellow brother, our friend and fellow brother, Ace Theo, who was very encouraging to me. He put a comment on MZTV 1410. It's very encouraging to me. That show is called How to Shut Down Religious Agitators. Ace said, "This is perhaps the best message I've ever heard on this topic. Thank you." Ooh, coming from you, Ace. I thank you very much. I apologize for my voice. I was really sick yesterday. I usually make these videos a day ahead of time. I couldn't do it yesterday. I have to get up early in order to get this recorded, edited, and out to you on time, which is very important to me. It's now 5:15. I started setting up my equipment here at 4:50 a.m. It's Wednesday morning, so I'm a little subdued. I'm a little froggy, but that is not going to stop what I have to say to you today from Romans chapter 6. You know, when I told you yesterday, just quoting Paul, thank you very much, present yourselves to God as if alive from among the dead. So we walk that way. And when you do that, your eyes are up, not down. You're not looking at your body. You're not considering your situation. Your eyes are up. And your chin is up. And to Christians, this probably looks like we're pleased with ourselves, or we somehow think we're quite accomplished in our Christian walk. But they completely misinterpret it, because this is a classic case of projection, where when the Christians have that look of eyes ahead, chin up, when they have that look, that's exactly what they are feeling. They're feeling a secret pride, not so secret though, is it? We can see right through it, in what they think is obeying God, which in their mind is, I didn't sin very much today. I conquered my flesh today. And they have that look. They have that look. And when they see us having that look, they project their feelings, their disposition upon us. But that's not our look. That's not the source of our look. That's not the cause of it. Do you know what the cause of our look is when we have our eyes up and our chin up? Confidence in what God says about us. That's what it is with us. It's confidence in what God says. We are presenting ourselves to God as if alive from among the dead. Somebody made the comment yesterday when I said this means we're to pretend we're already resurrected. No, we're not supposed to pretend we are already resurrected. No, we're not. That the whole point of this is God calling what is not as though it were, and us walking in the truth that we have, which, as I keep saying, is ahead of our bodies. We're not yet resurrected from among the dead. We're not yet made perfect, but we are to walk as if we are, based on the historic 2,000 years ago death of Christ for sin. Now, I want to continue in Romans chapter 6, and I am going to get to Romans chapter 7 as I promised you, but I have got some insight into a verse that I've never looked deeply into like I have now. Listen to this. I'm going to start with verse 11. Thus you also be reckoning yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, yet living to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 12, new territory. Let not sin then, based on what Paul just said, that as my son Gabe said, we are to let sin bother us as much as death now bothers Christ. That being the case, let not sin then be reigning in your mortal bodies. How do Christians interpret that? We know how they interpret that. Let not sin be reigning. They think that means that you have to, as much as possible, not sin. But sin is actually reigning in their lives because they are not presenting themselves to God. And I'm going to get to this here. What do you see? They're not presenting themselves to God as if alive from among the dead. They're actually presenting themselves to sin. And their focus is on sin. Their focus is on the flesh. And is it not completely logical and accurate to say that sin is reigning in their lives? It's reigning. Whereas we're not even thinking about putting our behavioral acts on a chart like they do. We're not even thinking about how this sin or that sin might threaten our ability to look God in the eye. Christians can't look God in the eye when they think that they are walking in a way that would not allow them to place themselves very high on the behavioral chart for today. They can't really look him in the eye. Until they weep, until they cry, until they confess over and over and over again how sorry they are. Am I making fun of repentance? It's okay to repent for your own sake. But if you think that you have to repent to God to continually hide your eyes from God every time you fail and to beg him to forgive you, then you have not understood or appreciated the truth of justification by faith. In fact, in that case, you are letting sin reign. Sin is dictating your mood. Sin is dictating your behavior. Sin is dictating how you approach God. Is not sin in that case reigning? How ironic is this? Sin is reigning in the lives of the people who think and who are trying desperately to walk perfectly. Sin is reigning in their lives. But to us who are not walking perfectly and who are not even worried about it, facing God and daring to believe what he says about us, that we are justified. We are the ones that are actually free from sin. Because as I tell you over and over again, letting sin reign in your mortal bodies has nothing to do with how much or how little you are sinning. It has to do with the place you give sin in your life, the power you give sin in your life. The power, that's it. The power you give it. the potential sin has to wreck your relationship with God. And boy, my detractor told me that my sin, whatever it is, never was stated. My sin is preaching freedom and grace. My detractor said that my sin is going to wreck God's opinion of me and that I have great punishment coming. That person wants sin to be reigning in my life like it reigns in his. But sin is not reigning in my life because I'm as worried about it as Jesus Christ is worried about death. Thank you, Gabe. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Romans 6. And so, even when I do sin, sin's not reigning. Because I'm free. I'm free. And so are you. Let me go on now in Romans chapter 6. Let not sin then be reigning in your mortal body, for you to be obeying its lusts. Boy, here's a good one. Obeying its lust. Well, surely, Martin, you must see here that the word lust is here. This must be talking about human beings exercising their lusts. Wait a minute. Didn't you read this passage here? Let's look at it again. Let not sin be reigning in your mortal bodies for you to be obeying its lusts. Boy, I feel like getting in the Baptist preacher mode here. It's lusts. This is sin's lusts. What are sin's lusts? This is not talking about your lusts. This is talking about the lusts of sins. I'm not making this up. Let not sin then be reigning in your mortal bodies for you to be obeying its lusts. Keep that in mind, bookmark that, and let's look at the definition of obey. Obey is a Greek word, hupokau. I don't guarantee my Greek pronunciations. Hupokau, it's a two-part Greek word, hupo meaning under, and au, kau meaning to hear. H-E-A-R. And the Concordant Dictionary, page 209, the dictionary in the back of the Concordant Literal New Testament, defines obey this way, to hear and to heed. And remember I said that walking in accord with flesh has to do with listening to it, with paying attention to its accusations. Sin is being personified all through Romans 6. It's being personified. This is about the lusts of sin. This is about the voice of sin. And who hijacks sin in order to condemn you? The liar, the father of lies, Satan. Satan is the one that animates this thing, brings it up from the dead. Christ crucified sin, crucified the old humanity. Never mind. The liar, Satan, the adversary, digs it up, animates it, puts his hand up its ass and manipulates it in front of you and says, boo, boo, this can still ruin God's opinion of you. Boo, look, look, look. And when you, that's the lust of sin as manifested through the will of Satan. And that is the thing. That's the lust of sin to bring you under its seductions. And the Christians are the ones that are hearing. They're obeying. The Christians are the ones who are obeying sin's lusts. Sin desires. It's being personified here as a figure of speech, so we have to go with the figure. How can sin lust? It's a figure of speech, but Paul uses that figure of speech to teach us something. That sin is such a powerful foe that it took Christ suffering for 6 hours on the cross to defeat it. But Satan digs it up and animates it and tricks as many people as he can with it. Puts his hand up its ass like a puppet and boo, boo, boo. And we just, we laugh at it. We despise it. We don't obey sin's lusts. Again, this has nothing to do with sinning. It has to do with hearing and heeding the accusations of the adversary as he animates a defeated foe. this is ridiculous. It's ridiculous to hear and to heed sins, lusts. This is perfectly consistent with letting sin be reigning in your mortal body. And remember, this all stems from the beautiful statement of Paul that as Christ died to sin and his death is lording it over him no longer, thus do not let sin be lording it over you. Do not let sin be animated by the adversary. Instead, be reckoning yourselves to be dead to it. Dead to it. So when it starts dancing and trying to scare you and jumping up, you're dead to it. You're as dead to its accusations. You're as dead to its threats as Christ is dead to death itself. And Christ is certainly not under the power of sin. And that's the comparison Paul is making here. Comparing us with Christ. I'm not doing it. Paul's doing it. Boy, I wanted to start this next section here today, but I'm not going to do it. I got to stop and I got to get this video edited and get it out to you at 8 o'clock. But tomorrow I want to talk about Paul saying, nor yet be presenting your members as implements of injustice to sin, but present yourselves to God as if alive from among the dead. I dealt with the second half of that verse. Present yourselves to God as if alive from among the dead. But I have new insights into the first part, where Paul says, nor yet be presenting your members as implements of injustice to sin. Because this is exactly what Christians do. And when I explain this to you, you're going to see it. You're going to go, yeah. That sure is what they do. And of course, verse 14 is loaded. Sin shall not be lording it over you. Same thing. It's not about sinning. It's about sin lording it over you. This whole section is not about you. It's about sin and your reaction to it. And if you're walking according to flesh, you're going to be concentrating on sin. You're going to be presenting yourselves to sin. This is exactly what Christians do. Going to get into more details on that tomorrow. They're presenting themselves to sin, not us. We're presenting ourselves to God as if alive from among the dead.